Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, the two guys that your mother always warned you about, here they are, Patch and Switch.
You know, maybe we should hire an audio engineer.
Well, I see no problem with these two tin cans and string that are apparently connecting us online today.
It's like we got into Skype at the skin of our teeth. The studio has changed. Chaos is running rampant. I believe there are pigs freaking flying in the air today.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
It's insane. I have no idea. So all we can hope is that the audio engineer at least has one of his earbuds in to be able to tell us if we're even able to be heard or not.
Well, Vizio MVP actually in the chat room says we need to empty the cans first.
That could also work too, because right now we're probably talking through like cream of chicken soup with condensed milk or something.
Yes. Well,
very muddy. Muddy audio, I think it is.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone. Want to send a big shout out to everybody who's joined us in the chat room. We've got Angry John, AZ, Growler Guy, Bjarne, Enrique, Frederick, Jay Shock, as always. Mr. Beckman is here. No geek left behind, as is Sean Lowe and the Vizio MVP, who I believe is listening to us on a train.
A train?
That actually may be the train that is carrying the two tin cans and string.
It better not be a via rail train, man. I got crappy internet. No, sorry. They've got great internet. Yes. Awesome internet.
I don't know what you're talking about at all. Welcome, everyone, to another Friday episode of The Big Show. This is a talk show, allegedly.
You are able to call in, although we can't screen the calls, so it makes it very interesting.
As you probably heard in previous shows.
No, I did edit it out, though. I did put in the beep.
You did?
I did put in a 6-second beep. 6 seconds of profanity was not included with that recorded podcast. I took a live one, downloaded it, did some editing magical hoo-ha-ha, and then next thing you know, boom, there's no longer any swearing.
Is that the official technical term?
Hoo-ha-ha.
I see. People join in?
We need a soundboard, man.
We used to have one until they changed everything and didn't tell us.
Really, I can't even see what I'm doing in the studio anymore here. How do they call in? Pots line. You can go toll 646-595-4888 if you wanted to join us on the phones, or if you wanted to even have a better analog audio experience in the digital world, you can always use Skype and then sign on to the Blog Talk Radio webpage. Create yourself a free account. You can scroll down to the bottom when you sign up for an account. Give yourself a personality and a name, and then you're able to click on the chat button, or not the chat button, the, what am I calling it here? The Skype connect button thingy on the, you know, right-hand side, is up, left. I don't even know where it is. It's in there somewhere.
They changed it. We don't know what
it
looks like.
I'm in the studio. I don't know where it is. I can't see it.
Looks like Angry John got himself an Xbox One last night. He wants to go home and play some Forza or Destiny, or
what?
Disney Infinity 2.
Disney Infinity 2 is out.
With the Avengers. And Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man.
I saw the commercial for that the other night. It looked rather intriguing. For some reason, I've never been able to get into it as much as you have. My kids are still too busy playing Minecraft, which is like an entry-level version of that, I guess you'd say.
Definitely it's the 8-bit version.
The 8-bit version.
Yeah.
But I got to say, some of the characters on the commercial were walking down the line with some swagger when they're walking. Did you see the commercial yet?
Of course.
They're walking with swagger, man.
They do have some swag.
It's insane.
They do have some swag.
No, not swag. Swagger.
Well, okay. We shorten it in the popular culture.
Okay. See, I'm not part of that. So
you got to have your swag. Hey, Veronica's joined us. Welcome, Veronica.
Hey, I guess she made a training meeting. Very good.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's see.
Did you mention the chat room how to get into it? Because I don't know how to get into it with the new studio right now.
Well, you do want to make sure you sign up for your free Blog Talk Radio account. Once you've signed up for the free Blog Talk Radio account, jump into the chat. Otherwise, when you're in the chat, you're as a guest. And you really can't talk to us. And we really want you to talk to us. And
I think it's working. I've got like a mini cute chat window.
Yeah, and you just booted me off.
Did I?
Yeah, but that's okay. That's all right. I'll figure it out.
Was I supposed to be in as a moderator?
Oh, no. I got it. No worries. I got it.
What?
I'll figure it out. You continue talking.
Yes, you can relax and take comfort in the fact that we are trained professional technology people. We know how all this stuff works, supposedly.
Allegedly.
See, look, that's what I did. It's like I'm inside the studio.
Oh, wow.
And
I don't. This is crazy.
I don't know.
This is ridiculous. Anyway, on with the show.
Dogs and cats lying with each other. It's crazy.
On with the show. So what are we doing? The show has multiple segments.
And the very first segment is known as From the Trenches.
Spent a lot of time in the trenches this week. Well, the Chicago
trenches.
Anyway.
I would say those are the street gutters.
The what?
The gutters, not the trenches.
Oh.
The gutters of the street. In Chicago.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
I'm trying to make an analogy. It's not working too well.
Apparently.
Chicago's. We had a lot of fun. Did I kick you out again?
No, I just can't actually see the chat window. So it's all good.
It says here, open moderator chat in a new window. What is that?
Yeah, my chat looks like it's on the left-hand side. These people don't need to hear about our
problems.
The issues with the show. At any rate, so the first one from the trenches, what have you been doing? Have you done anything in the trenches in the work, from a technical perspective this week?
Well, I've actually been playing around with, getting some, new updates to some of my systems. I got a notice from, our internal IT department that some of my software is out of date. It's always fun when, again, you work for a technology company, and they actually have the ability to implement the technology that tells you that stuff is wrong and asks you to fix it. Otherwise, you lose networking connectivity. So apparently, one of my old Surface machines is out of whack and needs to be either flattened and reinstalled or have some updates done to it, which I shall have to try to do. And I've got to remember that whole Building 25 secret bunker environment that we have going on over there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out if that's all completed or not. I left that in the capable hands of the British intern, and he supposedly...
You know we don't pay him, right?
I know, but he supposedly finished most of it. So we would have a brand new 2012 R2 remote desktop gateway. We would also have remote connectivity using a new domain name. And other glorious and fun stuff like that, too. So far, so good, I can say. Also, I'm playing around with some of the new Azure VMs that have come out on Monday.
New Azure VMs?
Yes, I did an interview with a guy by the name of Kenneth Kwa was the guy's name. He's the PM, or one of the PMs, in charge of virtual machine configurations and instances that are available on the portal and through PowerShell. And he gave me a quick spin and a demo of some of the new D-Series machines. The D-Series machines basically take advantage of some new hardware capabilities that we have been rolling out across our different regions and data centers, which include faster processors or processors, as well as some new disks and better memory-to-core ratio densities. So basically, think of it as a data center upgrade hardware stuff. They obviously, you know, cost a little bit more here and there based on what you're trying to do with it. But the coolest thing with them is they're starting to introduce some SSD technology inside of the environment. And that means that now your non-persistent disk, which is used typically for temporary workloads and stuff like that, is now based on SSD and gets you about 5 to 6 times the I/O throughput that you used to be able to get on that single environment. So pretty cool stuff so far.
Now, are those available at all tier levels? So if I just want, you know, a single machine or...
Oh, they've got them available at the... I guess you know how you got standards and basics.
Right.
And then basically at the standard. I don't know how that works.
Okay. Sounds good.
At the standard level, so they're not shared, you have the ability to implement your A1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of thing, just like you could before. They have different by-the-minute billings that's available, and you can try them out. With more to come, obviously.
No Geek Left Behind says Azure price drop, woohoo.
Yes, that was announced. Actually, just came in my mailbox just the other day. And then I saw it on the tech news blogs from various people, and Mary Jo and others.
Yeah.
That pricing effect was also just to kind of do some matching and possibly beating of... that other company that's based out of Seattle that starts with an A and ends in a WS.
Gotcha. No Geek Left Behind mentions that he got his Hutu Travel Mate Nano finally. He says it's almost as small as his willpower. Well done, sir.
Very good.
Enrique is fighting Ubuntu and CentOS on Azure to get OMI and DSC going. Fun stuff. That's one of his ugly from the trenches tales. Let's see what else we have going on in the chat room. Are we still stuck at 500 IOPS for Azure?
Well, that was I actually asked that exact question to some of the engineers. And so what may not be known is that there generally is no effective limits on IOPS other than physical disk characteristics for the OS disk, but it has read-write cache capabilities turned on, so typically you get good performance on those guys. The data disks, or the persistent disks, they do have a governor, or filter, if you will, that prevents the noisy neighbor issue from happening, and they are set at 500. But the persistent disk actually never had a restriction on it either, because it's non-persistent. And so even in the old machines, you can actually get 1,000-ish IOPS out of a non-persistent disk that you would typically have. And there was also does not count those IOPS against the maximum for the storage group. Now, of course, the difficulty with the non-persistent disk is the fact that it disappears. When you have the machine restarted for maintenance, or if you move the machine or do whatever to that machine inside the cluster environment, whatever data is on there is gone. So it's not exactly recommended for, you know, a single instant SQL server for location of where data happens to sit. So that was it. That was actually news to me. I did not know that. I always thought there was the 500 IOPS issue with every single disk, but it was just on the data disk, and that's basically about it.
Enrique wants to know how many times Todd asked if anyone thought he was handsome while in Chicago. You know, I don't ever remember hearing that.
I actually did an interview with him.
Yeah?
At the very end, I sat down and did like a 5-10 minute interview with him, and he's hilarious, man. Absolutely hilarious. He was shocked that he was being interviewed by myself and Rick Tillyhat at the same time.
Oh, did Tilly get involved in the interviews?
Tilly was actually a little starstruck. He was blushing most of the time, I noticed.
Really?
My head was getting hot.
I see.
So he was blushing. And I think they had a bit of a banter on Twitter between the two of them.
I think I saw that.
But he's got quite the imposing voice. Like, he's got the I'm not going to say presenter voice, because he just has a imposing voice even when he's just talking and hanging out too.
It was super cool. It was super fun seeing everybody, getting a chance to talk in Chicago. I will state this about Chicago. There will be absolutely no problems finding beer.
I agree. And we've even managed to source out a distillery that seems to be a particular favorite of yours. It might even become your home base while we're there.
I'm pretty sure the CH Distillery in Chicago is absolutely going to be my home base, at least Tuesday through Sunday. Tuesday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Because they are closed Sunday and Monday.
Right.
But fantastic place. They make their own vodka. They make their own gins. They actually have the Gateway Gin, that I call it, which is actually a key lime gin, which has a little less of the juniper. Mm-hmm. And they make another drink, which is essentially, it was described to me as kind of the, if you like vodka soda, try this. It takes it to a whole other level, and it's a gin-based drink, and I actually quite enjoyed it. I had several.
I'm not a gin drinker at all, and I can absolutely say it did not taste like cough syrup. I guess that's the juniper inference.
Yes.
But for the most part, I was sticking to the vodka. And it was quite nice, and I love the way how they actually started it off, just to kind of prove what the whole environment's like. It's called a traditional, which was about an ounce and a half of vodka chilled with a slice of rye bread and dill pickle. And the idea was that you pick up the rye bread, you give it a nice big long sniff to kind of prepare your senses.
Yes.
And then you drink the vodka. You don't shoot it. You actually let it linger in the mouth.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe not the whole thing at once, but basically have some and then drink it and then have some more and then finish it. And then next thing you know, you get this nice, warm, toasty feeling that goes all the way down into your belly. And it was very nice.
Get in my belly.
Finished it off with a nice dill pickle to cleanse the palate. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Pat Strom has joined us as well. Hey, welcome, Pat, to the big show.
Apparently that's a Eastern European tradition, or a Russian tradition, or mm-hmm. Ukrainian, depends on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite good.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and we had nothing but amazing weather in Chicago, which we're hoping the same occurs later on in May. That would be next calendar year. I don't live by calendar years anymore. I live on the fiscal year. So I essentially I'm already on next year. Right, you know,
you're Q2 now.
Yeah, I'm Q2 now. So that's just how I work. Let's see, Fire Killer has joined us. Welcome. You haven't been here in a while. Where you been? We want to know. And then, of course, we're still trying to figure out how we actually use this because they completely changed the studio. Fire Killer says he's been busy killing fires.
I have no way to make my chat window larger. Like I'm looking at.
Yes, I know. I was looking at it earlier.
I can't even read it.
Yeah.
So luckily, our sound engineer has it up on the screen, so we're able to see it. That's good. Which is fantastic. It's nice and full screen, which is nice.
Absolutely.
What about you yourself? Besides the stuff over in Chicago.
Chicago.
Doing any other
Chicago
from the trenches style work?
You know, there haven't been a lot of real technical things. You know, this Server 2003 end of life has been kind of consuming every minute of my day recently.
Oh yeah.
As that is coming up July 14th of next year. So yeah, we've been having some fun and games with that.
We're under 300 days now.
We are under 300 days. Yes, that is correct.
I'm going to put up a counter on the blog, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Is it going to count up or down?
Count down.
Oh, okay.
Count down to when it is end of life. The biggest issue I had when I was talking about that, because I actually talked about that at Dev Connections, IT Dev Connections as one of my sessions, and obviously almost everyone has some kind of 2003 kicking around. The biggest issue they have is simply apps they bought that they invested in years ago and are running old versions of SQL and old versions of other stuff and .NET runtimes and stuff like that. And they just haven't been able to go and spend the time to figure out how to move them off, or they just don't want to pay the money to upgrade the software.
And so this is a question, and I want to throw this out to all of our fantastic listeners that are in the chat room as well as you. Is the question or is the issue with the applications that the application does not have a more current version, or is the issue upgrading to that current version and changing up the environment? I'm really curious to know this.
So I can tell you, I don't want to preempt anyone from the chat room, but I can tell you that the ones that I was talking with were saying that it was a matter of they made the initial investment and they can't seem to get buy-in from the rest of the orgs to be able to go to the more modern version.
I see.
That's what their issue was.
And we saw that a lot in the XP end of life.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And that's a fairly common thing. I know.
But then you have a massive rush frenzy as they like, oh, they all of a sudden understand the implication of now not still running XP.
Sean Lowe's talking about his .NET Nuke webpage to die so we can get rid of his 2003 IIS server, which JShock promptly jumps in saying it can be upgraded to run on R2 and offers his help. So thanks, JShock, for offering help because we're nothing but a big community here.
Absolutely.
Also, Kyle Beckman has fax server, and then he adds $$$$.
Yeah.
Oh, man, fax servers.
Yeah.
I think I've just had a flashback, like one of those PTSD flashbacks of fax servers.
There was a quote that came through the tech press just in the last little while. I think someone was at Cisco. One of the guys from Cisco was saying that companies are going to stop buying servers in 10 years.
What?
That's just, you know, that was his comment. I was on a webinar. I actually attend webinars as well, and I was on a webinar talking about AWS versus Google versus Azure. I was pleased to see that there was a large number of people outnumbering the Googles using Azure instead, which is kind of neat to see. But all the pundits that they had, they're on there talking from various different places, some startups, some traditional, and things like that. They were all on AWS and had limited exposure to Azure.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have a couple of good things to say here and there because they were exploring them. But One of them quoted the reference to the fact that someone at the Cisco side of things at one of their conferences recently was talking about how no one's going to be buying servers in 10 years. And I thought about that for a while. I'm like, when's the last time you bought like a fax machine? Like,
well, I mean, I have the all-in-one, yeah, you know, 40-in-1, you know, printer that does that. And
like, when's the last time you bought a PBX for a business?
Yeah, probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably was about 10 years ago. Sean Lowe jumped in saying that he used to have to scan the faxes.
No, I
scan all incoming faxes. I've dealt with this. I've done this. Sean, we have this in common.
Yeah.
I've gone through this. It used to be somebody would scan them all in, and then another couple of people would have access to an exchange inbox where all the faxes would come to, and they'd go and look and see who the fax was destined to and then email it out. I mean, that is nothing if not efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Or non-efficient, as the case may be.
Yeah.
So it appears that Todd is listening,
but he
can't get in the chat room.
I also do want to comment that I obviously do not agree with someone saying that there's not going to be servers being purchased in 10 years. Things absolutely change and mix it up, but the ability to go off and to forecast what's going on that far down the road is highly changing, because otherwise we'd all have like rocket ship cars and flying cars and hoverboards and things like that, which aren't quite there yet.
I want to know why Jay Schock bought a fax machine 3 years ago.
Like an honest-to-goodness fax machine.
I wonder if it was one of those that had like the heat paper, right, in the rolls and like it come out
stuff.
And the thermal stuff, and it would curl up when you're trying to read the fax.
Yeah.
That is the epitome of technology right there.
I got a tech support call about unreadable faxes. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? This is back in the old days. And it turned out that they had the fax machine output bin directly over top of a old-fashioned steam radiator. And the heat from the radiator in the wintertime was enough to turn pages that were left on top of the out bin too long into black.
So I have to correct myself. It was Kyle Beckman, not Sean Lowe, that is dealing with the scanning of faxes, and that's my bad because
we can't
trying
see the
to...
chat room. It's hard.
Well, no, the issue is that I don't have my glasses.
Oh, okay.
And I'm getting old. But it's not your fault, audio engineer. Leave it how it is because I can actually see. I just lost track of the line. And also, Jay Schock was saying he bought a PBX, not a fax machine. Apparently, he still has boxes and boxes of that thermal paper.
Nice.
And then Veronica talks about the stupid big thing when the fax machines are out of thermal paper still haunts her.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with that statement because literally, I don't know what I did to make somebody angry, but every single time like we'd change cubicles back in the old work I did, I always ended up near the fax machine. And maybe that was probably because I was the only guy who knew how to change the paper in the fax machine.
Of course.
But yeah.
Involuntary tech support.
Sean Lowe says it's always fun to tape about 20 pages together in a roll in fax.
Just to see what would happen on the other end.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Spam faxes. Remember those?
Yes. Okay, I have to tell a story. It wasn't spam because we actually had signed up for it. But there was a friend of mine whose company had signed up for these special travel deal faxes.
Oh, man.
And we literally got airfare from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles, to Anaheim, for $22.
What?
$22 each way. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Because
of this, it came in on this fax. And so we responded immediately and purchased tickets and had a last-minute trip to see the mouse. But that's... Yeah, $22. So,
the mouse?
Yeah, the mouse that lives in Anaheim.
Huh?
Big amusement park. There's a mouse.
Mickey.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Veronica's right there. Oh, my gosh, travel deals, spam faxes. That was awesome. But it worked. Kyle says you can take out the speaker thing that beeps with a screwdriver and a soldering iron, two things that we're not allowed to have or be around.
Yes. Though I do have a blowtorch.
Yeah, that's frightening.
It's not very good to work on circuit boards, but it definitely unsolder stuff very quickly.
22 each way, Jay Schock. that was it. Did we ride with the luggage, Kyle? No, we didn't ride with the luggage. However, funny story about this. Now, this is obviously pre-internet days. I'm dating myself a little bit. Well, we're talking about fax machines. So, no, we didn't ride with the luggage, but when we went to check into our flight to leave Salt Lake City, they had actually changed the flight to leave an hour earlier.
Oh.
And this was before the days of showing up to the airport 2 hours early and everything.
You didn't have an app on your phone?
There was no app. And they didn't call us to tell us that they had changed the flight time.
Nice.
But they were very accommodating, put us on another flight. Actually, we were supposed to connect through San Francisco to go to Anaheim from Salt Lake, which doesn't make any sense at all. But it was $22, so I'm not going to complain. They actually put us on a direct flight.
Did you get upgraded to first class?
No. This is before I actually started traveling, and this is when I was with the normal people.
Were you
people.
Allowed to smoke on the plane?
No, no, no. But I do believe that they were serving cocktails before the plane took off.
Nice. I love that.
So, yeah. Angry John mentions that a sledgehammer is the most satisfying way to fix the fax beep. I would agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle asks if it was $275 to check a bag. No, this is before the airline started charging for every other item.
Back in the heyday.
Back in the heyday. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, just we've gone off on a tangent again.
We should probably come back from that tangent.
Yeah, we probably should. We should probably move to the second segment of the show, which is...
Beer money.
Beer money.
We have a sound effect. We don't know how to play it.
It's all right.
I found it.
Oh, did you?
Is that it?
I don't know. Is it?
Yep, here he is.
Oh, there it is.
It's working. Nice.
Yeah, that obviously was not a red Solo cup.
No.
No.
I learned how to pour beer correctly into a red Solo cup.
You did. You were schooled.
Yes, I was schooled. By
are you going to give away the secrets or are you just going to keep it to yourself?
They have to watch the episode when it comes out.
Ah, there you go. Hey, look, Todd's joined. Hi, Todd. Good to see you again.
Okay, so...
no geek behind us if it was Pterodactyl Airlines.
Tech support for family and friends and neighbors and everybody else. I have a very simple one.
Yeah.
A friend of mine pinged me, a friend and family... and was asking about what it would cost to be able to get a copy of Office for him and his family.
Okay.
So I said, well, you know, I'll pick one up. You're a friend and family of mine, and then we'll set it up. He's like, okay, well, can you ship it to me? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to send you a code, Ben.
He's like, what?
And, like, literally, it's one of those codes that you're able to, once you purchase it and you pay for it and you receive it, it comes in your email, can be stored inside your digital locker. And then I simply put a little note beside it saying this belongs to my friend. And then I sent him the code, and boom, done. Like, imagine that for software deploys. Like, it's awesome. I love it.
It looks like Smurf Speaking Tube has joined us all the way from Germany shouting aloha. I think she's confused.
It's the German version of aloha.
Achtung! Yes, exactly. So ultimately, what was the you got? I'm going to ask you the question: what Office version did you actually pick up? Did you get them on the 365s?
The 365s.
Yeah.
For a 1 year use, which allows him to have five instances of Office installed on his system, and five different systems, obviously. It also gives them the upgraded 1 terabyte. Of storage space, which can be given to 4 other members as well. So you end up with like 5 terabytes of storage across the family, as well as the ability to go off and to get the freemium version upgraded on the family's iPads as well. So very happy campers, very happy family, and they're off and running now with the Office 365. So the best part about that is because it's a click-to-run kind of installs. It didn't take very long to do the install on the machines. And it's updated. I love that fact. Whenever something comes out and needs to be updated, boom, it just simply streams down. It's wicked stuff, man.
Jeff's joined us in the chat room as well. Hey, Jeff. And I agree with you. Yeah, it's just too bad that we all missed out on the fun and games with the Chicago flying and the tower. And
oh, that's on right now.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I was looking at the flight map of all the flights that are affected. That's huge.
Yeah, it is absolutely huge.
And the fire is like 40 miles outside of where the airport is, apparently.
Yeah, and it right deals with not just traffic at that airport, but in the general area. So, yeah. Todd's glad he just drove from Chicago. He says nothing was on fire. Apparently, Todd, you left before Rick left his room.
Nice.
Yeah. I
can't pick you anywhere. Sorry, that was anyway. For Rigsby, in case you're listening in later.
Ah, there you go. All right, so You know what? I haven't done any tech support. Oh, you know what? I have. Does it count if it's for me at home?
Yeah, because it's not your job.
Okay. All right. So
what did you do for yourself?
So I have just recently run hardwired connections and swapped out the 110 jacks with RJ45s and got the full, you know, high-speed internet, wired internet through the house.
Yep.
And a couple of weeks ago, what, Jeff? Sorry, I just caught this in the chat room. TSA made him throw away his cold press coffee at the airport. Did you? Oh, you got to put it in your check bag.
You didn't have a check bag.
You got to put it in your check bag. All right, anyway, moving on. So I'd done this, and everything was working fine and everything. So last night I went in to test for my radio show, which is tomorrow, the DJ show, right? Housebeat.eu, 12 o'clock Pacific time. Shameless plug.
Say it. Housebeat.eu.
Yes, Housebeat Radio. The show's called The Bump. Join me. Follow me on Facebook. No, I'm done. I'm just kidding.
Go to his blog.
Like my Facebook. No. So because I have finally purchased a powered USB hub so that I could run everything off of my Surface Pro 2.
Oh, yeah?
I actually have to have multiple computers. One actually sends the broadcast. The other one is the one that I use when I'm participating in the chat room, and because there's a chat room in there as well as, you know, checking the Facebook likes, because I do give, you know, voice shouts out like we do here for those who like on the Facebooks as well as on the Twitter, is that's where I usually put a track list. But cool. At any rate, I was doing some testing, and I was getting link lights on the network adapter, but I wasn't getting an IP address. And it just would not. So I hard coded in an IP address and it still wouldn't connect.
Was it a cable?
And I was just, well, so I swapped out the cable, right, that connects into the wall.
Yeah.
I went upstairs and checked the cable that connects into the router or the switch upstairs and checked that. So I finally said the heck with this. I got out the tester. Now, I went out and purchased one of these testers when I was running all these wires and all these cables. And I plugged in the tester and it said, oh, look, it looks like cables 3 and 6 are not connected. So I was still getting link, but because 3 and 6 weren't connected, the wires, 3 and 6 out of the 8 weren't connected, I wasn't able to get an IP and everything. So I start troubleshooting where exactly that disconnection was, and I removed the jack from the wall, and cables 3 and 6 had literally broken off. Like broken, I mean, they were still connected into the punch down, but they had broken.
Wow. High quality cable they got.
Apparently so. Yeah, because I was shocked because upstairs, you know, in the punch panel was just fine.
I would have assumed that it was because there wasn't the appropriate amount of crossover happening at the proper impedance and that sort of stuff.
Well, if you've got two of the 8 cables disconnected or broken off, but that I was really surprised at that. And the fact that I got link at all was also, you know, that's why my initial thought was, well, it can't be with the wall jack because I've got link. Right, you've got the blinky lights, and whenever you have blinky lights, everything's good, right?
You know, it's, you know what this reminds me of? Back in my day, removing the terminator on the end of a 10-base 2 coax.
Yes.
Or else, what I used to do to trip people up as a troubleshooting exercise, and I teach them how to do IT stuff, is I would snap the little tiny wire inside that terminator,
so
it wouldn't actually have a wire connector on it, so the terminator would be on.
Yes.
But until they took it off to look at it,
the bits are flying out. The bits are spilling out everywhere.
They were all over the floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was the bastard of an instructor.
Sean Lowe, you're absolutely correct. You do only need 4. It might be a little slow, but that's probably not a good thing when you're streaming an audio broadcast, just saying.
Very so.
Neither is the Wi-Fi, even though my Wi-Fi is stellar. It's still probably better.
We've got new people inside this chat room, eh?
Yeah, it looks like Peter.
I haven't seen Pat Stroma
MKE077. Let's see. We mentioned Todd has joined us. Smurf Speaking Tube has joined us. Yeah, okay. No, we're caught up. So at any rate, simply pulled the jack off the wall, repunched it down, ran the test again. Everything is happy. Did a bandwidth test and was getting absurd speeds up and down, which is I like absurd. And it literally the internet speed test just came up. It didn't even give me a number. It just said absurd.
Nice. I love that. Love that program.
It just said absurd.
The next segment that we do is known as.
What is it known as?
Beer money. No. Yeah, it is beer money. No, we did beer money.
No, we haven't talked about beer money. We did do beer money. It's random spending.
Random spending.
Jeez, that's the problem with doing a show every 2 weeks. We kind of forget what we're doing.
Maybe we should just do a weekly podcast.
No. These people here already want us to do a full hour of this show.
So my issue is, right now, so I have been, unfortunately, spending a lot recently, but not on technology, per se.
What?
I've been buying beer equipment.
You've been sending texts.
I've been sending texts to my friends and brethren on Beer Team 6 about the beer equipment that I'm buying. And I do believe one of the last texts that I said is that I will actually have a donation jar, of which you've already contributed, up on the counter next to the cups for the guys that are going to be coming over to brew on Sunday.
But I wonder if we should move beyond and get current in the world and not just have a Red Solo cup where you slap a dollar in and maybe have a web page where you could contribute. Sound guy just passed you a quarter.
Nice. So yeah, we could probably do something else besides the Red Solo cups for sure. A lovely, beautiful, state-of-the-art sparging arm
recently purchased,
which will facilitate us to be able to do a recirculation of the beer as it's being brewed, as well as a pump. So we have a nice pump to move stuff around, some new silicone hoses for temperature, some awesome-looking quick connects, look very industrial. It almost looks like I won't burn myself with things, which is good. And then, a mash rake that's about the size of a canoe paddle to be able to stir stuff with. And I've actually been researching last night different types of beer styles. And you know, get this, I actually emailed the brewmaster at Maritz.
What? Did you really?
Alejandro. I mailed him last night to say, I know you probably can't give me the secret recipe of Moritz Epidor, but here's what I'm thinking, and I'd love your thoughts on what this might taste like. And if you wanted to drop me any hints on the actual recipe, you're more than welcome to. But I was basically letting him know that thank you very much for the sample of yeast that he gave me, and I also explained that 3/4 of it was found on my ceiling and hallway of the hotel that I was in when I was in Barcelona.
That was brilliant.
But the part that I did manage to save is going to be put into my spinning device and my stir plate probably tonight to make sure that it's got nice and happiness happening on it in time for Sunday.
So Vizio MVP just posted a link for remote-controlled socks, which apparently you need in Canada to ensure your feet stay warm.
Oh, very nice.
It looks like Angry John bought Destiny twice in 1 month. He shouldn't have pre-ordered the physical media for the 360. That is correct, because if you order the download version on the Xbox One, you can get the downloaded version for the Xbox 3. Sorry. Is it you order the 360 and you get the one? No, you order the one and you get... At any rate, you order one and you get the other. We'll figure it all out. Fire Killer got a new SSD and a spinning disc. It says everything's fast. Bartolo asks, what about selling T-shirts of the proceeds going to the beer brewery or selling 2/4 of Patch and Switch beer?
It would be illegal to sell bottles of beer, technically. So we can't do that. We could possibly take donations in exchange for those bottles, but I don't think that would work either. I don't know. See,
well, and the other thing, too, is we don't bottle.
No, I know. It's kegs.
It's all kegs.
Yeah.
It's all kegs.
So.
And Angry John wants to know if anybody has tried the Hardywood Ginger Stout. It sounds really good.
Yeah, I've been toying with the gingers, and
we haven't been able to really dial that
No, I haven't spent enough time on it just yet. So I gotta. That's still one of my would like to make kind of beer. I think.
Gotta yeah.
I love ginger.
Well, I know.
Any ginger beer that I've had that is alcoholic, ginger beer has always been overly sweet.
Well, because ginger beer is technically a soda.
Well,
or a pop.
Well, you can get ale.
It's a pop.
You can get alcoholic red ale that you add ginger to make it a ginger beer, and that would work.
Peter X, my MKE077 says you don't sell the beer, you sell the collectible bottle, which just so happens to contain beer.
Ah.
Veronica wants to know if anybody has a list of good pumpkin beers.
I made a good pumpkin one. It was quite nice. Don't know if I'm going to make another one.
Yeah, there wasn't that one. That one was okay. It's just again sweetness factor,
yeah.
Right? But that might have been the 18 gallons of maple syrup you dumped into it.
Yeah, I put a little too much in there.
Let's see. Best pumpkins out there. Oh, Lakefront. So, Veronica, there you go, Lakefront. Jay Shock is asking Peter where his hard root beer is. We tried some excellent root beer in Chicago, actually.
Where was that? Oh, that was, I want to say Dusseldorf, but it's not Dusseldorf.
Oh, no, Bergman's. Was that Bergman's?
Rothman's?
Bergman's? Yeah.
I should know this.
Bergdorf's? Berghoff. We were close. We've got to figure it out. Thanks, Peter.
Berghoff.
Peter shouted it up as well. Yeah, Berghoff. You'd think that we would know, but we visited probably 46 places. Yeah.
But Berghoff's was actually quite good. And they also had a very large and very nice dark lager, which was quite good.
Hang on. Peter just mentioned Lakefront makes a bourbon barrel-aged imperial pumpkin. Hashtag awesome.
Bourbon barrel aged anything is actually hashtag awesome. I'm now deciding.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I didn't think I was a bourbon drinker, but apparently I turned into one.
Vizio MVP asks, pumpkin beer, do you use the bottle for a jack-o'-lantern? Yes. The answer is yes.
So we did go to the Berghoff restaurants.
We did.
We had a tour. We had some brats.
We had the Reuben.
Reuben.
The Reuben.
As well.
Yes.
We got to see the bakery. Got to tour the facilities. They don't actually make the beer there.
That is
correct.
It's
a separate company, but the company that is there has been established and working since the 1900s.
Yes.
And they are the proud owners of the official first and second liquor license after Prohibition was repealed.
And if you watch our videos, we will actually talk about that.
Yes.
So don't completely...
Much.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Hashtag spoiler alert.
We got 3 minutes left, my friend.
So with that... I wonder if we really should start. No, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
An hour-long show. Anyway, let's first of all remind everybody that we're going to be back in 2 weeks.
And we also have an announcement as well.
We do.
We have a live show that will be taking place
yes.
at an alternate time because we will be in Barcelona.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be at the end of the day in Barcelona, which is a slightly earlier time. We'll give you the official schedule and everything else like that for that one there. I think it's going to be at around 7 a.m. Pacific, which is 9 a.m. Eastern, which is like 4 a.m. Barcelonian time.
Yes, like that. But more details to come on that.
Yeah.
Veronica is yelling and screaming for an hour-long show. I don't know if we're prepared for that, but we'll consider it. On to the final segment of the show, which is naming next week's show, where we take three of your random words and throw them together, and that becomes the title for next week's exciting episode.
Not
so,
next week's, the week after. It's a fortnight.
Sorry, a fortnight. Jay Shock says bash. All right,
nice.
That's a good one. Loot farming and filtration. So bash, loot farming, filtration. So Jay Shock, Pat, thanks for the word. Fire killer, thanks for the word. That is going to be next the next episode, which is in a fortnight. Do you guys really think we should do an hour-long show?
What's the words against our
bash, loot farming, filtration?
Got it. Locked in.
So let's see. Sean Lowe, Pat, Peter, Anthony, Veronica. They
if
all
we
say
do
yes.
An extra 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to charge more to listen to the show.
We don't charge anything as
what?
It is. We don't charge a single penny.
Okay. Maybe we should charge a penny.
Charge a penny.
We might get 20 cents out of this.
Anthony says, take my money. Pat says he'll pay double.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, apparently everybody's jumping all over it. They want more show. More show for your dollar.
If everybody gave us a quarter, that would be enough for 25 shows, which is around as much as it is for a year. Isn't it? Is the band already in here?
Yeah, they're already playing us out. Anthony wants to know if we accept Canadian Tire dollars. All right, that's it. The show has gone completely downhill. Not that it ever started uphill to begin with. Shout out to the chat room people: Angry John, Bartolo, AZ Growler Guy, Bjarne, Jeff Firekiller, Frederick, Jay Shock, Mr. Beckman, No Geek Left Behind, Pat, Peter, John, Veronica, our favorite person in Germany, Smurf Speaking Tube, Todd. Great to see you last week, as well as Vizio MVP. Hey, where did H-Jit? H-Jit didn't join the show. I'm calling him out.
Yep.
Until then, thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. And Have a weekend, everyone.